Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp Inc. Saturday, June 15th. Ian Cameron, and joined here by a very special guest. We said he would be on Thursday when we did the daily show prior to Game 3 and the BetCast that night. He'd be joining us, a longtime pro hockey player, junior hockey player in the Western Hockey League with the Spokane Chiefs. He was part of a very infamous moment with that team, which we will get to in the course of the show. And right now he's doing a lot of training work in his post-hockey career. We're happy to have, from the province of Alberta, Chris Brewton joining us here on the show. Chris, good to have you. What's up, my man?
Thank you, Ian. Good to talk to you and be on. And not much, you know, as a rival to Edmonton. I've been watching the series now really, really closely. I am a Calgary Flames fan, and excited to be on the show here and chat with you some hockey. And you know, we already alluded to this a bit before the show, but Florida's definitely taken a stronghold on it. But I still think it could be an interesting series.
No doubt. We're looking forward to Game 4, and we will tee that up here in just a moment. Give us the Cliff Notes version of the Chris Brewton hockey journey, how you got into it, the junior days, and then you played pro. You played American Hockey League mostly in North America, a little bit in Europe. So tell us the hockey trajectory that you've been on here for the last, I'd say, 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on the outdoor rinks here in Calgary. Became obsessed really, really early. I've got two brothers, older and younger. So I was the middle, but my dad knew that I was the one that was just the most obsessed and hungry. Just worked my way up in the minor systems and then got drafted by the Spokane Chiefs. And then I ended up leaving home and playing there for 4 years. And I had a wonderful career, just amazing experience. And of course, I was fortunate enough to captain the 2008 Memorial Cup Championship and WHL Championship teams. And yes, I dropped the Memorial Cup on national TV. My claim to fame. And then
I will relive that experience in just a bit, by the way.
Yeah, of course. And we can go into how I've used that to my advantage, but it's actually been a blessing. I mean, it's been so fun to share with people and never forgotten. And then, you know, there wasn't a great pro deal. So I took my scholarship money and I did a 4-year degree at Acadia University, played hockey and did it in 3 years. And I jumped out into the East Coast Hockey League in Alaska. And I fought and literally worked my way into a role where I got called up to the Peoria Rivermen, the St. Louis Blues, played out the rest of the season there, another full season, and then signed a two-way NHL deal with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers and the New York Islanders. And unfortunately, that was kind of the pinnacle of where I was. I was named captain in Bridgeport, but as life goes, some tough injuries came in. I shattered my knuckles and some concussions and just a tough year. Came back for one more with Grand Rapids, Detroit Red Wings, but the carrot at the end of the string was just getting a little too far. And so my final year, I went to Scotland and played in the Elite Ice Hockey League, had a blast, got my MBA. And then I knew it was time for me to hang them up and came back to Calgary. And, you know, I used my degrees. I was in oil and gas. I had started in a hockey camp called the Columbia Valley Hockey School early in my pro career. And now we're entering our 10th year, which is pretty exciting. And so I flirted in and out of the career with oil and gas and sales. And now I just recently moved where I really want to be, which is the personal training space, group fitness and instruction. And then I train youth hockey players called Grit Performance Hockey. And yeah, that's been me for about a year here, kind of entrepreneurial, working really, really hard, probably making half as much, but like you said, enjoying what I do.
Sounds like me, working really hard, and the money's never guaranteed on a daily basis. Yep. With the work we put in. But the bottom line is, long term, you're going to make. That's the goal. And yeah, exactly. That's a nice career to have. It's kind of like, I love what I do, as you know. We were talking about that before the show. I can't imagine now myself after 14 years full-time in sports betting doing anything else. And I think what's made this job even more enjoyable is being able to do the content, being able to do the videos. And just, I don't know if I would enjoy it as much if I was just handicapping and off in my own world, just doing that on a daily basis. But I can be on a public forum doing shows like this. I'd be able to talk basketball, football, other sports too on my own channel and other platforms. Plus, of course, the Ice Guys, my signature show here for hockey. I think if I didn't have that outlet, Chris, to talk about the game, because at the end of the day, why am I in sports betting? I love sports. I've loved sports my whole life. To be able to talk about it on a daily basis, it's a dream. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's fun too. I mean, I have a 960 here, Sportsnet in the morning. I really like those guys. I mean, every morning I love just hearing them, you know, talk and reanalyze the games and give you perspective on kind of, you know, how they felt it went to maybe the difference that you saw. And it gives you that you know, kind of sounding board too with the chatter in your head where you wanna get feedback and you wanna kind of hear what's out there and then create your own analyzing. And yeah, it's a fun thing. I mean, anyone that's listening to this knows that sports is just the best. I mean, such entertaining, and it's fun to talk about and to be involved with.
Yeah, it is. And like I say, when you love sports, you enjoy doing what you do. And I certainly do that. And I can tell, even though it's hard work and a lot of hours for you, you're enjoying the grit performance work that you're doing. All right. We do have a few clips, a couple clips, actually, of Chris in his hockey days. Before we get to the obvious one, which is, of course, that memorable 2008 Memorial Cup trophy celebration with the Spokane Chiefs, which has been played numerous times. Chris wouldn't take much shit from anybody on the ice throughout his career. So we're going to show a little clip of him chucking the knucks, if you will. This was actually in 2013. I believe it definitely was an NHL preseason game that this fight took place. It was Flames versus Islanders. Chris was with the Islanders.
That was my first ever exhibition game at home.
Really? That's a pretty great memory. You know exactly first preseason game.
Yep, in the Saddle Dome. I had like 100 family and friends. I fought, got an assist. I had a really good training camp. That was the year I had 4 assists in 3 games. I had 2 good fights, Kloon down in Nashville. And I kind of felt like I was on my way there. But as life goes, injuries.
There we go. I like it. Real deal prime. More fights on the ice, guys. Hey, most of the guests we have on the show, we're showing more fights than goals, quite honestly, when it comes to their highlight
reel. We're exciting. Yeah, I don't have as many goals, that's for sure.
I think that's part of the reason, too, with many of the guests. But nevertheless, this is September 2013, Flames versus Islanders preseason game. Our guest, Chris Brewton, taking on another Chris. It was Chris versus Chris, Chris McKelvey on the other side. Here it is.
Flames now in the room zone. Along the board, some bumping goes on as Brewton in there against the Flames. McKelvey, the puck behind the Calgary net. The Flames take over from there. But now we've got a fight. Brewton and McKelvey with arms on one another. Face-off circle in the Calgary zone. Both trying to get arms free and throw some punches. There's a good shot to the body by McKelvey as they continue to waltz around in this trap in the Calgary zone.
And you got the takedown, too. Look at that.
McKelvey to the ice. The signal for the linesman.
Didn't always happen. I usually fought bigger guys for some stupid reason, but
no, that was good. That was the great Peter Marr, by the way, that called that on Calgary Flames radio back in the day. He was he was a longtime voice of the
legend.
Yeah. I think they award in Calgary, I believe, something called the Peter Marr Award at the end of the season to one of the Calgary Flames players for outstanding performance or outstanding community work or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they give and they name it after him. But yeah, there you go. A little Chris on the ice, dropping the mitts there with another Chris, McKelvey. And here now is the Memorial Cup moment. This was after the Spokane Chiefs won. Of course, your goaltender of that team was, as you mentioned before we started the show, Dustin Tokarski. Don Cherry called him Dustin Koharski one time. I remember.
Don Cherry said he said a few things that he's probably wanted to take back.
Yeah, he's getting raked over the coals right now. It's floating around social media because he's in the Stanley Cup final now with Florida. Oliver Lawson Tossum, as he would call it. That's the all-time Don Cherry mispronunciation right there.
Yeah,
it doesn't get any fucking funnier than that. Because you know what he's thinking? He's here in it's Ekman Larson. He's getting it mixed up, and he's got his fucking video collection in his head. Rock'em Sock'em. And
the old school. I used to love those. Oh my gosh.
Those were the days. I would make sure I'd be so pissed at mom and dad if they didn't get me Don Cherry's Rock
Christmas
Sock'em.
Every year. Rock'em Sock'em 10, best all time.
Ugh. You could screw up a lot of stuff with gift giving with me, but if you screwed up failing to get that video for me every year, there's no forgiveness. None.
Yeah, my brothers and I. That was number one.
Yeah.
you didn't even have to wrap it. We knew.
Oh, everything about it was great because they'd show great goals, great saves, tons of hits, great fights. Yeah. You know, tea time. If for those of you that don't like the fighting, turn the
into the trolley tracks. He would always say trolley tracks. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. No, those were epic. And then his narration, actually, of the highlights and the clips made it as well. And the soundtrack, man, you hear bumping in the background during the highlights.
Old school techno. Sometimes it was legit.
Too Unlimited. I remember them. No Limit and all those.
Nice. Wow. Unlimited,
no jokes. No one's gonna. People, I may be the only person on the planet that has this, but I have the entire Two Unlimited collection, every album that they put out.
I don't know if that's what you're proud of.
I love their stuff, man. Techno and dance back in the 90s, man. That was cutting edge, ahead of its time. We hadn't heard those pulsating beats like that before, ever. You know, you had disco, obviously, in the 70s and the 80s, but you didn't have, you know, that thumping electronic sound that is now so common now and prevalent these days. Two Unlimited were ahead of their time, and that was used a lot in the Don Cherry Rock'em Sock'em videos. So this is 2008, Memorial Cup, Spokane Chiefs celebration, and this is, I guess, what's made Chris most famous for and most well-known for, I guess you could say, over the years. Sometimes you can't script this stuff, and this is truly one of those moments right here. This is the 2008 Memorial Cup Spokane Chiefs celebrating their Memorial Cup victory. As always, you get the trophy awarded, and then the unimaginable occurred. Here it is.
It now comes upon the captain, Chris Bruton, to accept the trophy.
Got the whole playoff beard going.
Yeah, I know. It's an immature playoff beard, but really, really brought it in on the neck there.
Then everyone just stares and starts looking around at one another like, what just happened?
Oh, yeah. I saw a ghost.
Where's the glue when you need it?
We'll get there.
It's still special. You're still skating around with the thing, even if it's missing the actual cup right on the top.
Yeah, we still drank out of the cup in the locker room. It was all good.
You're still holding it at that
point. The trophy presentation that no one will ever forget.
That's correct, Peter Loubardius. Yeah.
And the Chiefs organization, whether it's snapped in two or not. They are the champions of Canadian Major Junior.
Hey, at least you got two things you could have carried around the ice then for that.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what's great is at least the thing didn't bust and, you know, and explode until you got the chance to at least raise it and kiss it.
What a selfish captain. Hey, I get all the glory and then it just.
Yeah, you got to kiss it and raise it. And then you're ready to pass it off finally to your teammate and then it breaks. How dare you?
Yeah.
You only care about yourself, man.
Well, what's crazy is that was Trevor Glass. He went the year before with Medicine Hat to the finals and lost. So we all knew that he needed to be second in line because he'd basically gone, lost, and it was just like a huge letdown and then all the way back. So the poor guy had played like I think we played 107 games that year, all in total with exhibition and everything. So he would have played over 200 games and gone back there. And then right when he's about to get that trophy finally again, it just smashes right in front of him. So
no, and just like that, into itsy bitsy pieces, right? Well, not itsy bitsy pieces, just the cup ended up breaking. But no, it's just a memorable moment right there. And yeah, 2008 that was. You know, it's a long time ago because it was Peter Loubardius. He scores. Yeah, I love doing this play by play goal call.
Yeah, it feels that way there. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But that was how often does that get brought? Obviously, we brought it up today, but how often does that get brought up in the course of a year, let's say?
Well, every year when the Best Damn Sports Show bloopers comes on and I'm still top 10 or, you know, worst cup or celebrations, I usually get about 50 texts or calls from buddies. So that's a fun reminder. You know, my Instagram, my personal one is Cupbreaker 2008. So I'm living that up. And then, you know, it's funny. I thought of making the best of a worst situation. So when I got into oil and gas, you know, you want to make a name, you want to create networks and relationships. And so I started doing these lunch and learns for a company, and, you know, I'd have to go and kind of speak to them about what I was selling in front of, you know, 50, 60 people sometimes. And so what I did is I just played the video and everyone just burst out laughing. And then it relieved all the pressure. They got to kind of know me right away. And I just said, hey, you know, the most embarrassing part of my life's over, so I'm just going to have the conversation. And then I really kind of used that reputation. I was sending that video to a CEO of a company and said, let's share a laugh. And, you know, with Canada and how small Calgary really feels and the hockey world and how connected people can feel in that. I mean, I got a lot of coffees and I got a lot of doors that I probably wouldn't have otherwise. So it's been a fun marketing tool for sure. And yeah, I'll never live it down. So,
hey, you know, revel in it, accept it, you know, make the best of it. And speaking of that, as you mentioned, and you can follow Chris on Instagram, Cupbreaker 2008. That's a great Instagram handle. Now, him thanks. And I are on the same page. Yeah, Chris and I. Yeah, so you can follow him on there. That's where the comparison ends. As you'll see on his Instagram, he's in much better shape than me. So there you go. Cupbreaker 2008 on Instagram. You stick with that. It's a perfect name. It's awesome. Oh, yeah. Cupbreaker. Yeah, and of course, the year it happened. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm proud of it, to be honest. You know, it's who I am, so I'll wear it proudly.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I said, sometimes, and I've seen people when they have something like crazy weird, and you know, they might. It depends on how you look at it, right? Some people would look at it and think that's the most embarrassing thing ever. I'll never live it down. But some people just, you know, they laugh it off. They look back on it and they can smile and they can laugh and say, you know, hey, it was bizarre, but I was part of something, you know, that unheard of and pretty cool moment, believe it or not. I look at it as a freaking cool moment, honestly.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
that's a stain on my personal life, past, or reputation or anything like that. Not at all.
No. I mean, when you go through what we did and you celebrate and you revel in 107 games for the year, you're the best team in all of, you know, junior hockey. It was weird. I mean, I maybe should have been a little bit more embarrassed, but I was so happy and relieved and proud that I just didn't care. And so I was able to carry that forward and, you know, it was super fun. I mean, I think, well, I don't, the Spokane Chiefs ended up making shirts that say you got to win it to break it. They made Memorial Cup bobblehead night. So the Memorial Cup would kind of bobblehead and so it became this really amazing, you know, storyline that was very true to all that happened and something we will never forget. So it's been great.
Yeah, no question. Like I said, that's a moment that'll stick with you forever. You might try to break apart from it, but it will never leave you.
Yeah, I know. My daughter one day will see it and she'll get to say, you know, I'm a dummy and stuff like that. So that'll be a fun time too.
Well, you mentioned the words happy and relieved when you talked just a moment ago. You know who's not happy and you know who's not relieved right now? Edmonton Oilers fans right now. They are not either of those two things. We'll look back quickly on game three that took place on Thursday night. And the way I see it is Edmonton had chances. I thought they did use the crowd and fueled by the home crowd early. They had those great chances. You saw, you know, McDavid have a brilliant chance. And Bobrovsky stoned him. They had those two power plays early in game three, including a couple of, you know, chances there. They had, of course, Florida got a power play. And then they had, I think, the best chances on Florida's power play, courtesy of Connor Brown. He had a couple of shorthanded chances, and he was not able to put the puck in the net. And sure enough, you know, they had another power play after that. They didn't score. And it felt like the longer that period was 0-0, the chances for Edmonton to seize momentum and really seize an opportunity in game three was slipping away. And the next thing you know, all it takes is Barkov picking someone's pocket. What else is new? How many times has he done that this series? Gets the puck down the wall, finds a trailing Forsling with a, you know, looks, just peeks over his shoulder, sees Forsling there. Brilliant pass. Forsling, and a nice little shot passed for a redirection by Reinhart, and it gives Florida the 1-0 lead, a terrible timed goal to give up for Edmonton right at the end of the first period. Now, credit to them, they tied it in the second with Warren Fogle's breakaway, and there was another chance for them to really get themselves into the game and into the series, but then disaster struck in the last 10 minutes of the second period. And all of the mistakes, it's like Edmonton, every mistake they made, and Florida pounced on it and scored off it. You look at CeCe and Skinner miscommunicating behind the net for the Edmonton Oilers, and it leads to the Tarasenko 2-1 goal. You look at Darnell Nurse coughing up the puck and turning it over in front of the net. It leads to the Sam Bennett goal that made it 3-1. You turn the puck over at the Florida blue line. It results in an odd man rush and a 2-on-1 for Evan Rodriguez and Alexander Barkov. And Barkov, with a brilliant shot, puts it away to make it 4-1. All of those were self-inflicted wounds and mistakes by the Edmonton Oilers. And the next thing you know, blink, and it's 4-1 Panthers. And look, credit to them. They didn't pack it in. They can't afford to pack it in because they pretty much had to win that game, and they gave a resilient effort and a good push in the third period. They got it to 4-3. I find it's just frustrating if I'm an Oilers fan, where we're trying to make these great plays with the puck, these fancy plays for most of the series, and we're trying to make these precise, beautiful plays offensively to try to break down this tenacious and airtight Florida defense, when we should be keeping things more simple. And in the third period, they did finally keep things simple. I mean, Philip Broberg's goal, he shoots the puck toward the net. It goes off Nico Mikkola and in the net. It's just a shot toward the net, and it gets a bounce. You get a bounce, and it goes in. Look at the Ryan McLeod goal that made it 4-3. A tip in front of the net off a simple point shot from Brett Kulak. Simple plays led to those two goals for Edmonton in the third period, but they didn't do enough of that in the first 40 minutes. And ultimately, they paid the price for it. Too little, too late. Florida wins 4-3. And how many times has Florida done this too at the end of a game? One goal lead, not a sniff for the opponent trying to tie the game. Not even a chance. Not even a really, really good look. I mean, for the last 30 seconds or so, they scrummed the puck along the boards. They killed the clock. And then, of course, they got the final clear. Just a textbook display of how to defend the lead once again by the Florida Panthers. And when there have been the odd breakdown for Florida, and even when it was 4-3, I'll admit that save that Bobrovsky made on Ryan McLeod when it was 4-3 was a sensational save. Left pad save. It's been shown a lot the last 2 days. He's been there to clean up the mess. He's been absolutely brilliant in this series, Sergei Bobrovsky. And just all around, Florida's been better defensively. They've been more opportunistic. They've completely shut down the Edmonton power play, which is still 0-for in the series. 0-for-10 now. Edmonton on the power play. So again, it's just credit to Florida. I think they've clearly established through three games they're the better of these two teams, and it's now just a question of when, not if, they win the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history. We've got Alex B. Smith with us now on this Saturday edition. Alex, welcome in. Give us your thoughts on game three Thursday night. I know we were on the BetCast, but like I said, Florida just the better team right now. Edmonton waited too long to keep it simple.
Yeah, they did, and it was just crazy to kind of see how things unfolded too, because the pace of play was solid back and forth in that first period, and it just kind of seemed, you know, we were saying the whole time, okay, well, it seems like the dam's going to break. Somebody's going to get a goal in this period. We end up jumping on that half a goal over in the first period live as we were watching, and Edmonton, as soon as they were getting all the momentum kind of going their way, just one breakdown defensively ends up turning into a Florida goal, and you could just feel the momentum. And then we could hear it as well, just kind of leave the building. And then Florida comes back out in the second period and then just completely dominates. And like I said, even though Edmonton showed some life late, it just still, you could just tell in the body language of that team, the body language of the crowd, that this is a better team, you know, and that's a hard thing to accept when you're a team in the Stanley Cup final and you know you're losing. That's got to be a hard reality to face, and when that moment really sinks in, you can kind of tell. It's funny. It was just a couple of days ago. I was seeing the highlights of the anniversary of Game 5 back in 2015 with Chicago and Tampa Bay. That was a game where Ben Bishop, who at the time no one knew, but he's playing with a completely torn groin muscle, goes to try to skate out and play the puck, runs into his own teammate. Patrick Sharp gets a goal. You could tell from the momentum of that play, and obviously based on Bishop's reaction that he was hurt, that the series was over. There are moments, and you could pinpoint this moment in every cup final going back at least the last 20 years. There's a tide shift where you just know the team is going to win, and that was what Florida did. The way that they shut down at the end of that game, like I said, just pinning the ball, the puck along the boards. It reminded me, I mentioned it on the BetCast, I think it was the New York series where they did the same thing to kind of close the game out. The fact that you have that kind of control and dominance in those key moments just showed you you're the superior team in the series, and that's a reason why the Florida is, you know, one game away now from hoisting Lord Stanley, and it's just incredible. The domination they've had leading after 40 minutes of play at something like 68-0-4, regular season and playoffs combined this year, where if they're leading after the second period, they pretty much have not lost it. So when you can dominate like that throughout the entire year, it just shows you are the best team in the league. And, yeah, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but, you know, I have not shied away from what I believe. The best team in the league wins the cup tonight.
Alex, good to meet you, man.
Yeah, good meeting you too.
Sorry. Yeah, actually, well, it's good that that you went into that because Ian and I touched on, you know, when you look at Florida just playing as a complete team and a unit, there's just that connectivity. You know, they have that confidence. Guys know their roles. I mean, you know, to shut down the empty netter there at the end, I mean, that's Ekblad. I mean, he's finding that role of just, you know, burying that puck in the corner and doing what he needs to do. And then all the right guys are stepping up. And, you know, when you look at Edmonton, they're jostling the lines all the time. Who is it there? McLeod there scores at the end, but he's playing with Draisaitl and McDavid. And I'm like, what is he doing up on the first line? I mean, they're spotting guys in, doing this and that. And, you know, to me, that's just kind of clinging to life, where Florida is just steady and fast, and they know what they want. They've been there last year. They're hungry. And they just have that momentum and that belief and that drive. I will say, you know, what it does come down to big time, of course, everybody knows this, and you alluded to Bishop there making the biggest mistake, which is goaltending. And so it's going to be interesting to see how Skinner does here to give his team a chance, especially with McDavid and Draisaitl and the legacy that they're trying to build. And we'll, you know, you only become a true great when you win a cup. So those two will step up. I think, you know, Edmonton has a chance to
Chris knows.
I hope they win the series, but I just don't, I find it really hard to believe to see Edmonton getting swept, especially when they're back in their home arena. And they played probably one of the best games. I mean, they outshot them, I think, you know, 35-23. So tonight will be interesting. But I'm with you guys. I think Florida's the better team. They've shown it, they've earned it, and they will win the cup.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And look, Alex and I have said this about, and by the way, I want to, before I get into that point, I do want to bring up the, because I heard this too after the game and I couldn't believe it. And I went back and looked, it was true. 90 seconds in the offensive zone in the second period for Florida. So a 20-minute period, 90 of the seconds, that whole period, Florida was in the offensive zone, and they scored 3 goals in those 90 seconds. They're opportunistic, way more than Edmonton.
Yep. How are you supposed to beat that?
Yeah, you're not. You're not. And that's demoralizing. You know, I give Edmonton all the credit in the world for even making that close at the end, because I thought they definitely could have been completely and utterly demoralized, you know, as far as that particular period, but they did push back strong, so we'll give them credit. And I think when you look at it, definitely a good push by Edmonton, but just too little too late. But Chris is hitting on the same thing that Alex and I have about McDavid. He's tremendous, no question. He's able to do things on the ice that nobody before him has ever been able to do. There is no denying that whatsoever with what we have seen from Connor McDavid. But we are talking about an Edmonton Oilers team that has to have their best player and one of the best players in the sport get it going, you know, in the Stanley Cup final. And if he's going to be at the level of, or even, and some people are already saying he's going to be even better than all the previous all-time greats in the NHL, that he's going to be better than Wayne Gretzky and Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin and Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr and Gordie Howe and Bobby Orr, and you go on down the list. Well, what did all those guys do? They all won a Stanley Cup. All of them. Every single one of them won at least one Stanley Cup. And every single one of them also produced and had a great performance in the Cup final. All of them. Crosby produced in the Cup final. Ovechkin, Gretzky always did. Mario Lemieux always did. Jaromir Jagr, he's scoring goals. He's getting his in the Stanley Cup final. Gordie Howe did. Bobby Orr scored an overtime winner to win a Stanley Cup in 1970. Mm-hmm. So they produced. Not only did they all win a cup, they produced. They got it done. They made impact in the Stanley Cup final. I'm waiting on that from McDavid. Now, I know McDavid has points and he has assists. I get it. But you've got McDavid, Dreisaitl, Bouchard, Nugent Hopkins, and Hyman. That five group of five players for the Oilers have a combined 0 goals. Incredible. In four, 3 games, none of them have scored a goal. Hyman, the Nuge, Bouchard, and the big two, McDavid and Dreisaitl. Not a single goal from any of them in this series. You're not winning, period, when that's the case.
Not at all.
Yeah, and you just look at, you know, I was just looking at right now, and just the points and how they're dispersed. I mean, Rodriguez stepped up with Florida. I mean, they've got, I mean, Bennett, let's just talk about him a second. I mean, he is just a playoff beast. Grinds, is gritty, and is putting pucks in the net, and the whole makeup of the Florida Panthers is this gritty, playoff oriented kind of battle tested team. And yeah, you get a lot of points, Dreisaitl and McDavid and Bouchard in the first few rounds through the playoffs, or the power play, sorry. But what are you doing when it's like it's all or nothing? Like where's that diving for that puck? You know, Barkov showing that all the time. He's making plays on that first goal that, you know, to put his team up after leaving the game too as well and coming back with a goal and assist. I mean, that to me was one of the biggest deciding factors too, is Barkov stepping up like that and getting a goal and assist after leaving the last game and leading his team. So it really is, you know, you could say unfortunately, but it comes down to the McDavid. Like, he's got to steal a game. I mean, Skinner's going to play okay, I think, but Bobrovsky will play better. So it's going to come down to just that McJesus kind of, you know, marketing ploy and who he is and can he step up? And I mean, he's got to have a 3-4 point night. Dreisaitl has got to be in there with him. And I mean, that's probably the storyline if Edmonton has a chance to build momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's got to start. They need something from that five. That group of five needs to put something on the board offensively tonight if they're going to avoid the sweep and push this series back to Florida for game five. Hell, forget about winning the game or the series, or even winning the game tonight. You know, win the first period, because you did not win the first period in game three, and you were basically pushing the boulder uphill for the rest of the game, you know, after that. That's where it's got to start. Shift by shift, and start with the first period, you know, if you're Edmonton tonight here in
game four. Yeah, I think Florida scored the first goal in every game too, right?
Game two, they did not. Okay. Ekholm got the first goal in game two.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, yeah, the muffin. Yeah.
The only blemish this entire series, basically, from Sergei Bobrovsky
was that goal, which was
a brutal goal for him to give up. But other than that, he's been a complete and utter brick wall in net. So I think we can forgive him, and I think Panthers fans have forgiven him for that softy, Dairy Queen softy that he gave up against Ekholm there in game two. All right, game four. Will it be a sweep, or can Edmonton at least get this series back to Florida for game five Tuesday night? We've got Edmonton -115 home favorites, 5.5 the total here in game four. Florida looking for the sweep, up 3-0 in the series. There's really not a whole lot pregame I'm going to do with this other than, you know, I've got Florida to win the Stanley Cup at a nice plus, what, plus 750. I think Alex has plus 900 or something on it. We're in great position to cash that, obviously, just one more win. Now, I know people are going to look back at what we saw last night in the NBA with Dallas, the Mavericks, avoiding the sweep at home and pummeling the Boston Celtics and ask themselves, can that happen tonight? With Edmonton stepping up, avoiding the sweep. Yeah, potentially. But here's the thing about last night, and I know it's a completely different sport. That wasn't just Dallas came out and played their best game of the series. That looked like a Boston team that said, you know what? We're okay going back to Boston for game five to clinch the series. They didn't even show up. Like, they really didn't. They were terrible. You can't tell me that was all Dallas playing great. Boston was horrendous. Boston looked like they could wanted to be anywhere else but playing a basketball game to win an NBA championship last night. And I think a lot of it was, well, we'll just beat them at home. They better be careful what they wish for, you know, thinking that way. But, you know, that seemed to me that that mindset and that mentality was in their minds a little bit, that, hey, we can beat them at home in front of our home fans and win the NBA championship at home in game five. I think if you're banking on Florida tonight feeling that way, I'm not as convinced that that is a mindset that they are going with here tonight. I have seen nothing but a focused, dialed in, locked in team that's been looking to win every single game that they have stepped on the ice. And I don't think they care at this point that, you know, whether they win tonight or whether they win back home in game five. I think they'd be just as easily, just as happy, you know, if they wrap up the series tonight in Edmonton. And you know why I think that too? They already said it on television last night, NHL Network, Sportsnet, TSN, they all reported it. Bill Zito and the Florida Management Group and everyone, you know, that works in the higher operations of the team, they're flying in the family and the friends for this game tonight. You know, they're not doing that to bring them all to Edmonton to see them lose. You know, I'll tell you that. That's the thought process of, let's get it tonight. Let's finish it. We're bringing in the family of the players, the family of the coaches, and we're going to Edmonton to hopefully witness a Stanley Cup celebration. All I'm saying is that if you're betting Edmonton tonight solely because you watched the NBA Finals last night and you saw the team up 3-0 roll over and say, you know what, we'll just win it at home in game five, I wouldn't assume Florida's got that same mindset tonight. That's all I'm saying. I would not assume that. Not with what I've seen from them. They've looked just dialed in and just absolutely focused, eyes on the prize, especially because, and to Rich H saying eyes on the prize, here's another reason why the eyes are on the prize and they may not let up tonight. When you were swept last year in the Stanley Cup final and the pain of that, that great run, knocking off Boston, beating Toronto, sweeping Carolina, and then Vegas turns around and sweeps you and you're one step away from the Stanley Cup, you're not taking anything to chance this year. You get that fourth win as soon as possible. Doesn't matter if it's home or away. Doesn't matter if it's game four, game five, game six, whatever. You get that fourth win, and you do everything you can to get that fourth win as soon as possible, because this is, you know, you want that cup. They almost have that feeling in their bones right now, the Panthers collectively, that they won't be denied. And so I wouldn't be sold on the Boston malaise that we saw last night in the NBA being duplicated tonight by the Florida Panthers in this game. So I have one pregame bet. Well, as far as that goes, I do have a couple same game parlays, but I have one pregame bet, Florida team total over 2.5. That's the one I think I really like the most. Florida has gotten to 3 goals or more in every game in this series. They scored 3. One of them was into the empty net, but they still got to 3 in game one. That one game in the series where they really didn't play that great. Game two, and Bobrovsky stole it. Game two, they got to 4 goals, and of course, we saw them score 4 once again in game three in the 4-3 victory over the Edmonton Oilers. So to take Florida over 2.5 at a reasonable minus 125 price, I think it's a solid price. I definitely, and look, I don't want to take Florida money line because that's the equivalent of me, you know, betting them to win the Stanley Cup. Well, I've already got them to win the Stanley Cup at you know, plus 750. You know, so I don't have to worry about the money line for Florida. So my approach is going to be the team total here with them, which is, again, a very nice, reasonable minus 125, you know, on that Florida team total over 2.5 here in this game. I'm gonna probably not even sprinkle the full game total. I'll probably wait for the third period to roll around. This is an elimination game. I do prefer that. This could be tight early, you know, because Florida's going to really want to dial in the details defensively. It's not like Edmonton is scoring a boatload of goals in this series until they got the two in the third period of game three. This could be one of those games where it does start slow and then the goals start to trickle in, especially in that final 20 minutes. And even more so if Florida's leading, because Chris, we've been on this show for years talking about it. One of our great angles betting in the playoffs and elimination games is betting a live over going into the third period when the team that is facing elimination is trailing, because they have to open up the game. There's going to be a lot more trading of chances, and there's going to be the potential for the goalie to get pulled with 5-6 minutes to go. And if you're on a live over that you bet after the second period, you could get 1, 2, even sometimes 3 goals in that empty net situation late in the game to cash your ticket. And it's usually a very strong positive expectation bet in a playoff elimination game as a live over or a third period over in these games. So that's definitely going to be the target. Pre-game, I'm on Florida team total over 2.5. And I'm also on both sides of the spectrum SGPs in this game. So Panthers plus 2.5, Oilers plus 2.5, paired with over 3.5, much like game three, I was on that. And also Florida plus 2.5, Edmonton plus 2.5, and I'm going to go under 7.5 again, like I did in game three. And we cashed both ends of those. It was over 3.5 game three, 4-3, but it was under 7.5, just barely, but it did stay under 7.5 as well. So going to try to hit both ends of that as well. Both teams plus 2.5, one of the same game parlays paired with over 3.5, and the other one paired with under 7.5. So that's the way I'm going to approach it here with game four tonight. Alex, game four, Panthers Oilers.
You know, it's interesting. I watched it, and I'm going to be cryptic about this, but I watched the program the other day, and someone said that they didn't want to commit to the fact that this series is over because of the fact that they felt that maybe that would be showing shade toward that franchise or that group's fans and players and people in the front office. And I thought that was the weirdest take ever. Like I said, this is not something where – you know, we come on these programs and we're just completely just trashing a one side or another.
You've gotten to the Stanley Cup final, man. It's a great season for Edmonton still.
Right.
It is.
Right. We're talking about what we're seeing in real time. Like I said, it's been a great season for Edmonton, but it just simply has not been enough for Edmonton. Florida has just shown in these three games so far that they are just far the better team, not just better than Edmonton, but better than pretty much everybody we've seen in the playoffs this year. Like, this is the one year, I can't remember a year, I have to go back to really think about where the last time we saw a team that just, wow, they just clearly looked like the best team in hockey. You know, we can make cases for how series have shifted and different breaks and different things, but at the end of the day, there's been no doubt with Florida in the first three rounds they've won, and there's been no doubt with Florida in the first three games they've won here in this cup final. And I just really can't find a way to bring myself to even trying to bet Edmonton. The spot was game three. The spot was catching them with that flight and having the whole travel issue and having to leave in the middle of a giant storm and, you know, the having the time change. That was the time for Edmonton to seize. And we have said, we all agreed, and I said that in the first period is where Edmonton has to come out and play their absolute best hockey. They simply did not do that in the first period of game three. So what now makes you believe that they're going to play their best hockey of the year in the first period of game four, which where they certainly they have to play open and play loose and play fast. They haven't been able to do that. So like you said, if it is going to be a tight contest early, that plays right into Florida's game. That's what they want. They want tight games. And I was just kind of scrolling back, looking at some of the previous clinching games for Florida. And there's been a pattern. You've seen scores of 2-1. 3-2. It was a 4-3, and of course that game ended up having to go to overtime. But you see these tight, close games. That's the style of hockey Florida wants to play. That's the style of hockey that has gotten them to this point right now. So for Edmonton, if you can't find a way to break out and get through the middle of the ice, if you're going to start doing the whole circus act around the perimeter against Florida, then forget about it. The series is over. It's absolutely done with. And Connor McDavid has not shown up to the level to where he should be showing up in the finals. Leon Draisaitl has not shown up to that level. Zach Hyman has not shown up to that level. Stuart Skinner, God bless him, he's done all he can do. But when your defense completely breaks down and you get cooked on a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1 to let up the first goal of the game, there's not much you can do. So, you know, it's not a knock on Edmonton as a franchise. It's not a knock on their fan base. They showed up and showed out and did what they needed to do. But those 23 players niced it. And that's just the moral of the story for this series. So I did add a little bit extra Florida. I grabbed plus 160 in regulation. I also grabbed the third period over pregame. There's a plus 100 available at BetOnline. Minus $1.05 is available at BetMGM. That's over two
good price
goals, yep, in the third period. Yet you may not find that price adjustment. Depending on how this game goes, you could be looking at laying a higher price or even a 2.5. Potentially in-game. So I would highly advise, if you have those books, to grab that pregame and get those better prices locked in. But also, like I said, regulation plus 160. And like I mentioned it, a lot of these games have been the 2-1 with these clinching spots. I'm looking at Sergei Bobrovsky. You can get this at BetMGM. Goals against under 2.5 and even money. I think he's going to, you know, stand and deliver in what should be the game that helps him win the Conn Smythe. He's already pretty much clinched that award at this point. We're looking at what, minus 500, minus 600 on something that opened at plus 5-1. So he needs to have one more dominant performance. I think he has that in him. I think Florida has that in them. Like I said, the killer instincts are there. You see how well this team plays when they're leading after 40 minutes of play. This is not a team that gets down and rests on their laurels. They smell blood in the water. They're going after it. Florida wins the cup tonight in Edmonton, which will be interesting because that would mean that the last two teams to win the Stanley Cup in this building would have been the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2020 because of the bubble, and then the Florida Panthers here in 2024. So give me Florida to win in regulation. Team full game, or sorry, third period over two, minus $1.05 or even money. And we're rolling with Sergei Bobrovsky to give up two goals or fewer at even money.
Yeah. Which you can specify the prop, Sergei Bobrovsky under, or you can just bet Edmonton team total under 2.5 as well. So there you go. Florida in regulation, plus 160, over 2, minus 105, third period. And Edmonton team total under 2.5, plus 120, the price on that. So, and like I said, we've seen a great point by Alex that when Florida's clinched the playoff series, we've seen a lot of 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 wins for them, and that would mean under 2.5 goals for Edmonton tonight if that trend continues. So we'll see if that defensive, just absolute dominance continues tonight for the Florida Panthers. Again, I will say it right now. If Edmonton's going to win tonight, they got to get a power play goal. It has to happen. The power play has to convert for them. They're still 0-10 in the series. We'll see if they can correct that here tonight. Chris, what do you think here? Game 4, Florida-Edmonton.
Well, I don't know the bets as well as you boys, but learning, which is pretty good, actually. It's very interesting. I mean, if I was a betting man, which maybe that'll come in time, I would go Florida. They're just hungry. They have that team culture that they don't want to wait another game. They want it now. I can speak to maybe my glory days a bit. When we won the WHL championship, we swept the Lethbridge Hurricanes in their arena. We didn't wait a minute. We just wanted it. We knew it. And then when we won the Memorial Cup, Kitchener Rangers was actually hosting. And so we went there. And again, it was one of those where it was just another game. It was another game that we needed to win. We tied up the skates. Everything went as it should. Goalie played hot. Everyone played their roles. You just had that momentum, that feel. And I just feel like, you know, being down 3-0 again, that game three, Edmonton had to take it. That was the one where you could side with feeling like this could be a shared series or it could have been a better battle. But down 3-0, you know, all the excuses have still come in with Kane and injuries, with jostling lineups, with a younger goaltender, younger players. I think Florida takes it tonight.
All right, so there you go. Chris signing up for Florida here, minus 105 to get it done, complete the sweep, and win the first Stanley Cup in franchise history. And I've said this a million times, I'll say it again. There's not one player or coach on either of these two teams I'm more happy to see win a Stanley Cup. If it indeed happens tonight, then Paul Maurice. This is a guy that has been in the NHL as a head coach for going on 30 years now. When he got his first job with Hartford in the mid-90s, then he went to Carolina when the team relocated there. He remained head coach of the Hurricanes. He was in the Stanley Cup final with Carolina against Detroit in 2002. The last year, Scotty Bowman coached there before retiring. He got back to the Stanley Cup final for the second time last year with Florida against Vegas, got swept, and now his third Stanley Cup final as an NHL head coach looking to get his first Stanley Cup. And don't forget how close he got to a fourth Stanley Cup final appearance with Winnipeg as well. They got to the West Final one year against Vegas. And they ended up, that's the year Vegas played Washington in the Stanley Cup final in their first season. So, like I said, he's been buzzing around, you know, the Stanley Cup final multiple times. He's been in the playoffs many, many years. And for him to finally get what I think he's so richly deserves, a Stanley Cup, for all the years of service as a head coach and a damn good one, and one of the most entertaining, thoughtful listens in the entire NHL as well, Paul Maurice, I'd be so happy for him. If he indeed gets his cup tonight or at some point during this series. As far as props go, I'm going to be stubborn with Nugent Hopkins and stick to it because the price is great and he's still playing on the top line, but I'm losing confidence in him. He's had chance after chance and not burying it, much like the other guys, Hyman, McDavid, Dreisaitl. But we'll stick to it. Holloway maybe for Edmonton, Bouchard on the blue line as well, Ekholm just because he's always capable. And then for Florida, Bennett for sure. We saw him score, of course, against the Edmonton Oilers in Game 3, his first goal of the series. So I like Sam Bennett upwards of, what, plus 380 for him to score a goal tonight. Great value on Sam Bennett. And also, you know, Alexander Barkov, the captain. You know, plus 320 at FanDuel. I think that's a very good price as well for him, the captain. He's been great. Evan Rodriguez, I think he's still going to be on the top line. I know he didn't score the last game, but he's obviously scored three goals in the series, plus 450. Definitely some good value there as well. So those are the main props that I'm kind of focusing in on here as far as goal props for Game 4 with the Panthers and the Oilers here tonight. All right, great stuff. That is the Game 4 preview. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. Schedule to be determined. If this is the last game, we will be on with you Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern for our our season recap show and our Stanley Cup final recap show. That'll be on Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern if Florida clinches the Stanley Cup tonight. If Edmonton wins and pushes it to Game 5, then we will be on Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern for our Game 5 preview show. And we will have a betcast night for Game 5 as well on Tuesday night if this series goes back to Florida. So that's the tentative schedule based on whatever happens tonight here in Game 4. A reminder, of course, shout out to everyone for being a Patreon member, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. Our sides, totals, and player props get posted there every game day. Goalie charts, totals charts. We've got off-season content on the way as well. So make sure you remain signed up through the summer months, $10 per month. Patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And of course, check out the Ice Guys store as well. You can still get 15% off all items, iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
We got 2 days left, say 15% right now in the Ice Guys store. Getting just about everything back in stock as well. So definitely want to check that out. Click on the redeem button at the top of the page and visit right now. It is iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right, great stuff. All right, we will be back in a moment with best bets and bargain bin special of the night to wrap up the show in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsor. All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. Is this our last bargain bin special segment of the season? Is this our last game of the season? It very well might be. Let's see if we can make it count. Alex, what do you like in the bargain bin for game four tonight?
I do think this is our last bargain bin special tonight, and I think one of the key players from Florida that'll help try to bring home the cup will be Matthew Tkachuk. He has been the heartbeat of this team for the last couple of years. He's a guy who you know relishes in the big moments, relishes as being in the spotlight. He's you know hated by everyone who doesn't root for the Florida Panthers, essentially, it seems, but that's what makes his game so special. I like for him to score twice in this contest. I got plus 1,800 for Matthew Tkachuk to get two goals in this contest as Florida looks to bring the cup home. So that's my bargain special. Matthew Tkachuk, two or more goals, plus 1,800.
All right, Matthew Tkachuk, plus 1,800, 18 to 1 to score two or more goals for Alex B. Smith with his bargain bin special of the night. Chris, I know you don't know the prices affiliated with each player, but I'll throw it out there to you. Someone under the radar, someone that you think is going to pop for a goal tonight, if you had to choose, who would you go with? A little under the radar player, not the common, you know, pick, if you will. Oh, you're muted. Turn your mic on. Yep. No, we do that too every now and then. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I'd say Tarasenko. He's got only four goals, but he's kind of gotten hot lately. He's only playing 11 minutes as well. I think that'll go up a bit. He's about 13 minutes. So I think he's got a kind of a sleepy chance to score
the last game.
Yeah.
There you go, plus 420 for Vladimir Tarasenko for the Florida Panthers. There we go for Chris Bruton with his bargain bin special of the night. Mine, look, I'm betting Sam Bennett again. I just get the feeling if I make him bargain bin special tonight, he won't score. I made him my bargain bin special in game one. He didn't score. I made him my bargain bin special pick in game two. He didn't score. I still bet him in game three, but I did not use him as my bargain bin special, and he scored. So I'm going to stay away from Bennett, but he'll probably score tonight, but I do like that bet. But what I'm going with for my bargain bin special of the night, I'm going with the guy that's been there through the good and the bad with this Florida Panthers franchise. He's seen it all. He's been through it all. He's the captain of the team. He's waited so long for this opportunity to finally win a cup, especially in Florida, and he just keeps playing great every game, offensively, defensively especially. And he is barely at the price for bargain bin material, but at FanDuel he is. We're going with Alexander Barkov, plus 320 at FanDuel for my bargain bin special of the night for game four. All right, best bets. Alex, what do you like here for best bet?
Yeah, there's not much to say here. Like I said, this is kind of a no-frills breakdown. The better team has dominated the series. The better team wins the game tonight, and the better team wins the championship. Give me the Florida Panthers in regulation, plus 160. This thing is over with, as far as I'm concerned. So Florida to hoist the cup, plus 160. That is my best bet.
Florida Panthers in regulation, plus 160. Great price on that for Alex with his best bet. Chris, I guess you like Florida too, so I guess by default, you know, we'll make that your best bet.
Yeah, I'd go Florida. They've looked too good. They're hungry. They're up 3-0. They want to finish it.
There you go. Plus one, minus 105 with Florida money line for Chris with his best bet. As we were saying before the show, I don't know if anyone thinks this, but Chris is actually the one that brought it up to me because he's been told by people, Chris Kevin Bieksa Bruton. There you go. That there's a little Kevin Bieksa resemblance in Chris Bruton.
Minus 2.0. Yeah. I get it all the time. Like, it's actually kind of crazy when I'm walking downtown. They said, do you know who you look like? It's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, so, definitely. Yeah. Oh, Dave's on top of it. Dave in our chat, Dave Holbrecht. He already pointed that out. Thanks, boys, and Chris Bieksa. Yeah, there you go. So there you go. You're not lying, man. People think you're a stark resemblance there to Kevin Bieksa. Of course, he'll be on Hockey Night in Canada tonight with the coverage. I guess my best bet's also a Florida bet, but I'm going with the team total specifically. Florida team total over 2.5, minus 125. I could see an Edmonton 4-3 win where Florida could still get three goals. That's why I like the team total route. And they've scored three goals. Just get me three goals and I'll be happy. You know, they've scored at least three goals in every game in this series. Florida Panthers team total over 2.5, minus 125. That'll be my best bet. By the way, I hope you were paying attention on Twitter last night. People would think, hey, there's no hockey. Yeah, there was. It was AHL Calder Cup final game one. I put out there that I'm on Coachella Valley plus 105 in the series to beat Hershey. They're this year's Florida in the American Hockey League. Lost in the final last year to this same team. They're not going to let it happen twice. They're winning this series, Coachella Valley. And the fact they got game one last night, which was the time for Hershey maybe to pounce on them, is not a good sign for the Hershey Bears, because now Coachella Valley's got a 1-1 split already, and the next three games after that are going to be out in Palm Springs, California, where that team has been positively unbeatable on home ice in these playoffs. So already Hershey's in a bit of a tricky spot in that series. But yeah, Coachella Valley to win that series I was on, and we had the over bifecta in game one last night as well. Easily cashed both of those in that 4-3 Coachella Valley victory in game one, trying to send Dan Bylsma out as a Calder Cup champion before he heads off to Seattle to become head coach of the Kraken, the parent franchise in the National Hockey League. Chris, it's been awesome having you on the show. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you had fun. And like I said, this might be our last regular format daily show this season if the cup final ends tonight, but we'll get you back on next season for sure if you want it.
Yeah, I'd like to learn a little bit more about investing in sports. So thanks a lot, guys, for having me. Alex, Ian, great to talk to you guys. And looking forward to watching the game tonight with family.
You're talking to the right people, Chris, as far as trying to help you out with that, no doubt. You're talking what combined Alex and I as far as full-time experience now, what, 20, 22? I mean, we've been doing this quite a long time. There's no question about that. And we're both just anxiously awaiting, hopefully, a nice Florida Panthers Stanley Cup futures ticket to cash and come in for us here in the Stanley Cup final. But great stuff from Chris. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. Again, schedule to be determined. It's all based on what happens tonight in game four. But basically what you know is that if there's a game five, we'll be on Tuesday with the Daily Show and the BetCast at night for game five. If Florida wraps it up tonight, then we will be on with you Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern for the season and Stanley Cup final recap show and our grand goodbye, if you will, for the off season. So stay tuned for that. We'll announce those details after tonight's game. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live right here on YouTube. And if you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. As well, check out the Ice Guys on True TV Plus. You can download that app on all Roku, Amazon, and Apple devices. For Alex B. Smith and our special guest, Chris Brewton, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Saturday. Enjoy Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. And we will see you again next time, either Monday or Tuesday, for another edition of the Ice Guys.